Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Everyone, it's Linda Ocor-Jenner here again with another SBCN Small Biz podcast. And as you know, we love to showcase our wonderful members on this podcast, which, by the way, you can listen to on website, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify Podcasts. You can enjoy anywhere and everywhere. So today I've got a very interesting guest who is quite a new member to the SBCN. It's April Loopy. She is a somatic coach. Hello, April. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me today.
Good morning, Linda, and thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
You have a very, very interesting business, and to be honest, I do understand a little bit more about it after we've chatted, but I'd love our listeners to know what a somatic coach actually is.
Sure. So as a somatic coach, I use coaching techniques because I am a coach, and then I use somatic experiencing techniques as well. So by combining the coaching and the somatic experiencing together, we help, it helps you reach your goals, because the somatic experiencing will help release any trapped survival energy, stress, or trauma that you have in your nervous system. So sometimes if you try...
Yep. Sorry, my first question is, what does somatic actually mean? Because I really didn't know until I met you.
Somatic refers to the body.
Oh, okay then. Yeah, so you reach people's maybe subconscious?
I work at the physiological level of the nervous system.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it is actually really quite amazing. So we use mind-body techniques to connect you to your body and your environment so that you can track the sensations that are related to the trapped survival energies so that
okay,
we can later release them.
We're going to come back to what you actually do, but I'm very interested now, April. You have a really lovely personality. I think you're a very outgoing person that people, you know, want to get to know. So why did you get into this kind of business? What kind of training do you need and all that kind of thing, you know?
That is a really good question, Linda. So what encouraged me to get into this business was my own life journey. So I have had quite a bit of trauma, especially early life stressful experiences, or what we call developmental trauma. And I had tried lots of different techniques and modalities, and even studied psychology, biopsychology, and child development in university as part of my healing journey. And I tried so many things, but it was somatic experiencing and coaching that really helped me turn the corner. So I just wanted to be able to help other people who have had experiences like mine to really be able to live their truth rather than their trauma.
What kind of training do you need for this kind of work?
So I have a BA in psychology, but you should have a certificate by some sort of coaching school that's ICF accredited. And then my somatic experiencing training, I am conducting that through the Somatic Experiencing International Organization.
Wow.
So it was founded by...
Sorry, you first.
It was founded by Dr. Peter Levine, who is the creator of somatic experiencing.
The reason I'm asking this is there's so much confusion out there today, whether it's we just had a wonderful speaker at one of the SBCN events, and basically my question was, you know, is this covered by insurance? Do you have to be registered? I asked a lot of questions, basically, because no disrespect to any business out there today, but some people will offer health and wellness help in particular with no experience, no training. So we have to be very careful. So you've taken all the right steps to get to this point in your business, which I really admire, April, because it's hard work, isn't it?
It is hard work. And the somatic experiencing training is a 3-year program. So it's quite extensive. Yeah.
So you actually have a location that you work from. Is that a place where you can find other people in the same kind of work as you, or are you the only somatic coach at that location?
So I am an independent contractor at Lavender Lane, that is in Waterloo. And we have other practitioners. We have a social worker, physiotherapist, we have an osteopath, and we have a lot of intuitive healers there as well. So what we do there is we work with the mind, body, and spirit. But I am the only somatic experiencing coach. Yeah.
Wow. So somebody can come there and they can get so much help all in one place with trusted people. You all know each other. You really, you know, can recommend each other. That's amazing. So if I was to come along to you and say I'd had a lot of traumatic experiences, say with breast cancer or a divorce, and I'm having sleepless nights, this is nothing like hypnotherapy, is it? This is completely different.
It is completely different. So what we would do is I don't work in the way that hypnotherapy does, as I don't work at in your subconscious. I work at the physiological level of your nervous system. Oh. So I would actually have you connect to yourself in your body and then ask what it is that you're noticing in your body at that moment, and then have you describe what it is that you're feeling. And then sometimes when we're tracking those sensations, there might be an urge to move a certain way, or an emotion might come up, or a thought might come up. And then we would follow that to see where it leads us until we can release or renegotiate that survival energy that's trapped in your nervous system.
So again, I'm a bit slow today. Just got back off my holidays. When you say physiological, that means it's a physical, bit like, say, massage is a physical thing, hypnotherapy is not. So you're more of the physical. Does that mean the touchy-feely, or have I got it completely wrong again?
No, sometimes there is some touch work that can be used where we touch the body in certain ways to help the body relax and to release some trauma that is trapped in certain areas of the body, like the diaphragm or the kidney adrenal interface. We do that as well. Yep. Mm. But we keep you connected to your body while we're doing it. So we ask you to notice what you're feeling in your body while my hand is supporting your kidney.
Okay. So basically, maybe then if I was experiencing lots of pain in my abdomen, tummy ache. That could be a nervous thing, couldn't it? It could be because, you know, I'm thinking back to a time when I had an operation or something and it's causing me sleepless nights. Am I on the right track now?
You are absolutely on the right track. So digestive issues are a nervous system thing. Sleep issues are a nervous system thing, because we can get stuck in fight, flight, or freeze, which is part of the autonomic nervous system, and that can disrupt your digestion, your sleep patterns, even your cognitive abilities. It can affect those as well.
So this is something I'd never heard of before, but I think it's fantastic. But again, I've really got the same question for you that I had for one of our speakers recently. I guess a lot of people might not believe in it and want to seek the help. Or if they do seek the help but still don't believe in it, will it still work?
It will work. The thing with somatic experiencing and coaching, though, is that it's very slow. We titrate it so that we don't put you into back into trauma. So it'll make a shift, but it might be a subtle one and you might not notice it. Mm. But it will work. Yeah, it will work. But you have to want to do the work. That's the same as any other modality out there. If you don't want to do the work, then of course it's not going to work. But if you want to do the work and you're open and willing and ready to do it, it'll work.
Yeah, I totally agree. I believe that we are what we think. So I think one of my worst operations, and I've had many operations, was, a hysterectomy, complete hysterectomy. So I had breast cancer twice, had my breast removed, had them removed twice, actually, but that's another story. So obviously I've been through physical pain, mental pain, but the hysterectomy, the pain was terrible, and I've got a good kind of pain toleration. So when I got home from the hospital and I wasn't on the drip, whatever the medication was, the really strong medication, I would tell my brain that I was okay, it was nothing to worry about, and basically try and take my mind off the pain but still acknowledge it so it wouldn't hide away anywhere. Was that the right thing for me to do?
Well, first I just want to say, Linda, I think that your journey is really quite incredible. And for you to sit here and be able to talk about it, I think that's absolutely wonderful. And Aww. Thank you so much for sharing with me. I totally appreciate you trusting me with that story.
Oh, thank you. My life is an open book. I've written 3 books.
Yes, but still, it's wonderful that you're able to share it. And I really appreciate that. So thank you.
Well, I think we're both in the business of helping people. So these conversations reach thousands of people, April. Seriously, when I look at the web stats, people listen to this podcast in particular from all over the world. So you may be encouraging someone. Obviously, say if they're in another country, they may seek this help out somewhere else. They may be at desperation point. But in my case, as I say, I have a good tolerance for pain. But the more I think the more we fear a pain or a memory, the more it takes over our body, mind, and spirit. Would that be right?
So the more we fear it, the more we put ourselves into our stress physiology. So yes, you would be correct. So part of what we work on is to build capacity in the nervous system so you can deal with those big sensations without fearing them.
That's very interesting. So, I wish more people knew about this, April, but they will after today.
Yes, they will.
So you obviously enjoy this work.
I do. I love it.
And how often, like, how many sessions, is there a certain amount of sessions that one client would get that another one wouldn't need, or is it all a specific time frame for every client?
It's not a specific time frame for every client, and that's a really good question. So the number of sessions it would take would depend on what it is that we're working on and your system, how much capacity you have in your nervous system. Mm-hmm. So it could take weeks, it could take months, but if we want to bring on full regulation, if there's been a long history of developmental trauma, it could take a couple of years. But that doesn't mean you won't feel any difference or make any significant shifts as we go along, because you will as you build capacity. It's just to bring full regulation on board. It takes time and work because essentially you're learning a whole new language. You're learning the language of your body and the nervous system, which we tend to ignore, right?
So when your client has a session with you and then leaves to go home and then come back and have another session, do they have like instructions, an idea how they can continue in some way when they're at home before they come back to you, you know, the following week, whatever?
Absolutely, they do. My thing is that I want to help you build resilience. So, and I don't want you to be my client forever. If you're my client forever, then something isn't right. Right? It's true, though. If you're coming to me forever, then I'm not really doing my job. So I
That's very honest of you, April.
But it's true.
It is so true, my angel, Oh, gosh.
So I tend to give little exercises and things that you can do in between sessions to build capacity on your own, which will make what we do more beneficial and more effective.
That's very good.
Yeah, because like I said, like I don't want you to be my client forever, and I want you to be able to live your best life ever. So if I can teach you how to communicate with your environment and your nervous system and how to befriend that, and you make that part of your life, you will have that resilience and you won't need to see me forever.
That's perfect. So let's imagine someone has had chronic pain for a very long time and they've been on medication for a very long time and it just doesn't work anymore. And as we know, chronic pain can lead to mental health issues. It can lead to, you know, lots and lots of health issues. So would you be able to help someone like that, do you think?
It would depend. Like, I would have to ask them about their history. It would depend
what's causing the chronic pain. Mm-hmm. Have they been in a car accident? Have they had multiple surgeries? Mm-hmm. Was there a slip and fall? Like, what precipitated the pain? Like, it would really depend, right?
That's good to know, because some people may say, well, yeah, I can help everybody, but I love your authenticity and your honesty. And again, we do have some people in business who are not quite the right people to be in business, who will just take any clients and say, yes, I can help you. So I love the fact that you're asking all those questions. So who would you refer someone to, do you think, in a case, say it was chronic pain, but you knew that you couldn't help them for whatever reason? Would you be able to refer them to anyone, do you think, or is that, you know, a bit difficult?
Well, like I said, because it really depends on what it is. If it's like if it's something structural, like physical damage, then maybe they would, you know, maybe I could suggest that go to the doctor, get it checked, and then the doctor could refer physiotherapy, or, you know, because that's not really my wheelhouse. So yes. referring isn't something that I would, you know, really do, but I can make suggestions, like contact your doctor to find out more about where the pain's coming from.
That's a good answer. You are absolutely amazing, April. So how do your clients find you? I mean, do they Google, you know, somatic coach? I mean, how do they find you?
So I am on the Lavender Lane website.
How do they know about the Lavender Lane website? If somebody's looking for a somatic coach, is it something everybody knew about and I didn't know about? How do they know what to look for? That's my point, really, not where are you? Do you get where I'm coming from?
Sorry. Yep. No, I get what you're coming from. Well, somatic, the word somatic and somatic exercises and things is becoming really quite popular. Uh-huh. So you can find it everywhere. So there is a directory for somatic experiencing practitioners, and you can find a practitioner through there. And so to be a practitioner, you can be a therapist, you can be a coach. You don't have to necessarily be a psychologist or psychotherapist. Mm-hmm. Social worker to do it. Nice. So then you can choose which type of practitioner that you want. There's a lot about somatic experiencing on social media, so people learn about it through there.
That's interesting. So if we wanted to find you in particular, please tell us how we can find you, because, you know, people listening may go, wow, I'd love to work with April.
So you can find me on the SBCN directory, obviously, because I am a member and here we are talking today. You can find me on the Lavender Lane website. And I also have a Facebook page called Somatic Coaching with April.
Wow. I do have one more question. I hope you don't mind, because I know you're a very busy girl. But
yeah,
can you also help yourself, or would you have to use someone else if you were going through some challenges and needed somatic coaching? Would you be able to help yourself, or would you have to then go to one of your colleagues to help you?
So being that I've been studying the nervous system and somatic experiencing since 2016, and it was just recently that I decided to actually do the practitioner training, mm-hmm. I do know little exercises and things to do when my nervous system, when I get activated.
Oh, nice.
However, if there are things that are coming up that are really big, I do have my own practitioner that I go to and see. Because the thing with trauma and emotional things is a lot of times it becomes overwhelming when we don't have a safe space to land, so to speak.
That's true. Yeah. So that's so true.
Healing happens in relationship, not only relationship with yourself, but relationship with others. So if you have somebody trusted, like I do, I have my own practitioner that I go to, it helps, because then you're validated, you're seen, and you have that safe space to land.
Perfect. So you're seeing it through the eyes of your client as well, which definitely helps your clients.
Yes. Yeah.
I am so glad I found out more about this, April, because like I say, I come across so many people, you know, and you never know, somebody might need this kind of help wherever in the world I am at the time. And I'd literally never heard about it before. Do you find that the word coach sometimes turns people off today because there are so many coaches and they get a bit confused with the word? Or do you find in your line of work it's so well understood that they exactly know where you are coming from?
I think the word coach sometimes does have a bit of a negative connotation to it, whether it's because there are a lot of coaches out there or because people just don't really understand the value of coaching.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah.
But I think coaching has a lot of value in it, obviously, because I did my certification, but because it's client-centered. So we work on what the client feels needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
Because the client has all the answers. They just don't realize they have them.
True. And I love the fact you've said that. I really do. That's amazing because people still don't understand that. You know, you have really introduced me to something new and fantastic. And I really admire you for all the work you do. I really, really do. And I'd love to continue this conversation and see where else we can take it in a few weeks if you have time, because it's very interesting, isn't it?
Yes, I would absolutely love to talk with you again, Linda. That would be fabulous.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it. Is there anything else you want to share before I let you get on with your busy day?
I would say that if everybody wanted to take one little thing away about how they can start, the simplest thing that they can do to start bringing nervous system health alive, it's so simple, and I'll give you this quick little tip if that's okay.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Follow your natural impulses. So if you feel that you've been working too long, you need a break, follow that impulse, take the break. If you're thirsty, don't hold off. Get that drink of water. If you need to use the restroom, don't wait. Go. Because every time you delay that, you're teaching your nervous system it doesn't know what it's talking about, essentially.
Wow. So just that's a great tip.
Mm.
So listen. We are listening to our body, aren't we, instead of ignoring what the body needs?
Absolutely. Just listen to your body.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really great. I am so into this now. I can't wait for our next chat. Thank you so much, April. We will put some information alongside the podcast so people can find you. I really appreciate your time, and you have a lovely day.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Linda. I really enjoyed talking with you, and I look forward to our next talk.